everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. My name is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact, and this week we're talking about things we learned at South by Southwest. So this past, last week, right?
Yeah,
last couple of weeks. We had some folks that went over to the South by Southwest Music Film Interactive Festival, right? That's what we're calling it now. This is where a bunch of people in the industry gather to talk about cool stuff.
Yeah.
Listen to music, party hardy kind of thing, right? So I'm drinking Killian's Irish Red, and I'm joined by Miss Danielle Cormier on my left.
And I am drinking a Magners.
And I'm Azure Collier. I'm also drinking a Magners.
And I'm Ryan Pinkham, and I'm drinking a Harp Premium Lager.
Yum.
Yum.
So, guys, tell us a little bit about your experience at the... at the festival.
It was busy.
Yeah.
A lot of people there. We were there for what's known as just sort of the interactive part. It kind of starts off with interactive, which is more sort of the tech, marketing, creative type folks, entrepreneurs, those sort of people. And then later on in the week, I think right now they have the music going on, and then it'll go into film later in the month. But yeah, I mean, a lot of sessions, a wide range of things from, you know, celebrities that you'd see on TV. I mean, there's people like Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks and was on the show Shark Tank. There's musical people that were there giving presentations. Mindy Kaling, who's from, you know, a comedian who was on The Office and things like that. But then there's people just from different big brands who are there just giving, telling their story or giving advice for entrepreneurs, people in the tech community. And I don't know, from what I took away, a lot of it was really sort of inspirational, aspirational type stuff. So not always like practical advice, but kind of telling story and things that the challenges they face, how they overcame them, and kind of giving their sort of take on things.
Yeah.
And again, there's sort of a range of, there's some big keynote addresses. I mean, some of them were, you know, Chelsea Clinton gave one of them, but then there's smaller sessions from people you might not even have heard of in a smaller room.
Joe was there.
Yeah, right.
Talking about stuff.
and honestly, I think in a lot of those sessions, that's where you get a little bit more of the hands-on, a little bit more into sort of the details of things.
Sure.
Where you're starting to get those sort of things. So, that was my general experience there. Danielle, you've been there for a few years now, right?
Yeah, I think that maybe one of the things is that interactive covers such a wide range of different genres. So there's people that are, what you said, search, or people who are doing marketing, or brands, or investors, or entrepreneurs. So it's a whole wide range of people who just want to get together and share what they're doing every day and what they think is next and what they think that the next big trend is going to be in the technology world.
You bring up an interesting point, right? I mean, like, these days now, thanks to, again, the internet, many thanks to the internet, but it feels like there's so many, like, it does span so many different genres now. Like, I mean, you have bands now, right? They're using social media, they're sharing things, or you look at shows like, you know, House of Cards, like, the way they're kind of like using social media to share like images from the show and little cards.
Yeah,
with
we actually
from the
saw
show
the director of House of Cards.
Oh, David Fincher, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that's cool. But then you have like, you know, like bands now are releasing music through apps and they're doing things. So it like really does like span like a whole kind of gamut of different kind of creative outlets now, right? When you're trying to market something or get something out there.
Yeah. I mean, there were sessions that is Twitter going to save TV? And then there's how can social media save global policy in foreign nations? Like it was a wide range of in-depth different kinds of conversations.
Very cool. So Ryan, you mentioned Mark Cuban, and I know Danielle, that's we've talked about him before in the Shark Tank, and I think that's one of the sessions you attended. Tell us a little bit about what you learned there.
The thing that I really liked about that session was I feel like Mark really gave a lot of practical advice for people who are earlier in their career, and a lot of the other sort of big names kind of just said like, oh, here's what I'm doing, and here's what's next for me, but he kind of took a step back and said, oh, these are the things that I did to be successful, and these are the steps I took, and it was more inspiring in that way of like just to keep going after your dreams and like cut out the fat of your daily routine of extra things you don't need and focus on what you're passionate about and things like that. Good, solid business tips.
Yeah,
what do you
think, Brian? Yeah, I mean, I think if you see him, if you watch Shark Tank or are familiar with him at all, like, he kind of can come off as a little bit of a rough guy. If you are a fan of the NBA at all, he's always like in the crowd, like, he's kind of an obnoxious owner in a lot of ways. But yeah, I mean, I sort of came in with some kind of preconceived notions of him.
Yeah.
But when you get the sort of kind of practical advice that he has and you sort of hear his story about how you know, he came up and really had to kind of really work really hard to get where he was and kind of start growing and acknowledging his successes and really continuing to grow on them. But then when he meets those sort of failures, learning from those sort of things, it's something that I think, you know, a small business owner really understands on a level that, you know, a lot of us might not. But it was, I think from that perspective, that's where you really kind of got those sort of things. And he was really good at sort of understanding his audience there. I think he understood there was a wide range of people there. So I'm sure he's probably spoken to really high, some Fortune 500 company CEOs, and I'm sure he's probably talked to college students. So I think he did a really good job of sort of speaking to his audience there. And then one of the best parts of any of the sessions is that you get those, you get Q&As after, and so you get kind of those wide range of questions again. And you know, one of the things I found really interesting about what he was talking about was he talked a lot about people coming up through, you know, like kind of the idea of, you know, you want to go to college and get a good job, and that, like, it's not always encouraged to be, you know, an entrepreneur or to go off and do your own thing, but really kind of just go with the script and see what you can do. But you know, so part of what he talked about was really kind of breaking out of that and like, listen, if doing a certain thing one course isn't really your way of going, don't be afraid of stepping outside of that and following the things that you want to do. And like I said, I think it's something small business owners know better than anyone. But I think it's really inspiring.
Sounds like he must have been relatable to a lot of the people. Like, you know, some of the big names there, you probably don't get that sense that, oh, that maybe they were kind of like me at one time.
Yeah, I feel like he came off like he had a lot of knowledge, like a lot of actual, like he knew what he was doing when he was explaining how he wanted to change the atmosphere at the Dallas Mavericks games. He was really talking about making it interactive and making it entertaining, and it was just like, oh wow, like that is a good idea, like to do all these different things to say, like, it's an experience to be at the game and people want to be sharing that and just sort of thinking about things, I think, in a new way. Yeah. It's like on trend with what's happening today.
Cool. You, who are you? Ryan. this killing us is working. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, I know you mentioned one of your favorite sessions was the kind of show your work session.
Yeah, so my favorite session was definitely this, he's an author, a poet, an artist, his name's Austin Kleon. He wrote a book called Steal Like an Artist, and he's really known for kind of this process of really understanding that nothing's really original when it comes to work, that even like whether you're an artist or you're a journalist or you work in a cubicle all day, that everything that you're doing is sort of working off of work that's been done before you. And I think that's a really great idea. But he just published a book, and his keynote was about this idea of showing your work. And basically his idea was that no matter what you're doing, you really need to be open in, to using the tools to really let people in on your process. So it's not just about selling your products anymore. So whether you're an artist or if you're selling, you know, software or anything like that, it's about letting people in to see sort of the day-to-day, you know, routine of what you're doing, so they can really kind of understand the work that goes into it, but also just sort of kind of humanizes the things that you're doing. And really, you know, he talked about this idea of sort of the, a lot of people think that there's just geniuses out there who come up with these great product innovations, come up with these great companies and get really successful overnight. But really what a lot of people don't see is a lot of these people who have been successful had groups of people around them really kind of contributing ideas and working together. And so he has sort of this idea that if you're continually showing your work, so maybe you start a blog if you're a business owner and you, you know, take pictures and do these sort of things and kind of give people a look behind the scenes and let people know about the things that you're doing, you'll not only attract other people who are in your position and kind of share your mission and really share your passion, but you really let customers come in and give them more opportunities to make your stuff will become a little bit more unique, I think, and really stand out and make more of a connection with your audience. So.
Sounds like you're getting them involved, too. Your audience is involved in the whole process and your products and your business.
Yeah, I think one of the things, I mean, I've kind of participated in things like that, and I think one of the things that's interesting about it is that you end up selling yourself on the work because you feel like you're part of it. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, somebody's working on a thing that they're, you know, I've seen it most frequently in like kind of the world of like, you know, information products or courses and things like that. But like, it's like when you're sharing the process of what you're getting together and what you're involving people and you're asking them questions and you're trying to get their feedback or you're explaining something a certain way, it helps you kind of refine your ideas and put them together in a different way because you're too close to it sometimes, you know,
you're
not necessarily viewing it the way that somebody else that's your potential customer is viewing it. You know what I mean? So it really allows you to be like, take a step back from it. And like, I always look at it as like, you know, if we're writing a blog post or something like that, and then we're like, okay, yeah, this all makes sense. And then somebody says, well, how do I do this? Well, oh yeah. You know what I mean? Like I missed that part. Like you have to be okay with being like, you know, taking that and being like, oh, it's not that my what I wrote sucks. It's that I just didn't even think about what the question would be from somebody else's point of view. You know what I mean? So it's definitely cool in that regard.
Yeah, and he's known too. I think his first book he put out was a book of poems, but his poems were actually, what he does is he takes like newspaper clippings and he blacks out a lot of the words in there and makes poems from the words that are in there. And he talked about when he first started doing it, it wasn't the idea to be a book. He just would do them, post them, and I think he still does them on a daily basis, post them online. Mm-hmm. And as he started to do it, he got more and more attention.
Yeah.
But he also had a way of encouraging other people to do the same thing. What he says is that, you know, not only were people really engaging, but he was getting a lot of ideas from those people who were copying and sort of doing things he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think it's something really to be said about it, because I think a lot of people think, well, I found something that works for me. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to keep this to myself and do really well.
Yeah.
And I think there is something to be said about holding on to some things and keep them in your back pocket. But I think there's also, you know, letting people in through education, letting people know that, you know, just because if someone else picks up on something you're doing and decides to try something else, it's not going to ruin what you're doing, right? And there's just more opportunities to grow and develop. And I think it's no matter what type of job you're doing or work you're doing, I think that there's really something to be learned there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what I really took away from the session was if you have a unique interest or idea, don't keep it to yourself. Like, by sharing it, you'll find a community of people that also have that same interest and you can sort of work together. And he used the analogy of knuckleball pitchers, how not many pitchers throw the knuckleball, but the ones that do sort of come together and form a community where they talk about how their strategy and what their ways of perfecting it, I guess.
Yeah, it was a really interesting like analogy he made, but it's true. Like
a knuckleball.
Yeah, but he took it was a quote from the pitcher R.A. Dickey, who throws the knuckleball, and he talks about that, how if you talk to any pitcher out there, they won't tell you a single thing about how they pitch.
Yeah.
But there's this select group of people who throw the knuckleball who get together and are really, because they believe in really perfecting the craft and keeping it going on and on.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really relatable. And, you know, and through all these things, you kind of talked about the idea of giving credit where credit's due. Mm-hmm. So you take ideas from people and you're going to work and improve on them and do things in your own way, but that you're always making sure that you're not only giving credit, but that you're giving credit in the right way.
Yeah.
One of the quotes I wrote down from him is that, you know, when you share work without credit, it not only robs the person who created it, but it also takes away from the people who are receiving it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting, because I think what he means there is that, you know, people will see these sort of things, and what you want to do is make sure they can go and find more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not your stuff, but maybe it's people who created that and you're sharing it. Give people the opportunity to stuff that now you like to find more stuff like that and be part of that as well.
And somebody might do that to you too.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that that's sort of the whole idea of all of this, is that you're putting things out in the world and you're kind of being a contributor rather than someone who's kind of keeping things to themselves and not really being part of this kind of the growing world that's really happening with the internet. So
cool. Anything else? We had a Yahoo from some.
Yeah, so again, I think it kind of touches on just the wide range of people that were there. And, you know, again, one of my other favorite sessions was Kathy Savitt, who's, I believe, the CMO at Yahoo, and she talked about sort of what makes a world-class brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really interesting, because I hadn't heard a lot about what Yahoo's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people think of Yahoo from maybe some of the earlier days of the internet, or I feel like when I was kind of coming up, I feel like everyone had a Yahoo email address, and I don't really...
I still have one. but it's not my primary.
but she said in it, too, that she was like, you know, she had met someone before. The thing was like, oh, you know, my husband worked at Yahoo back in the day. And the way she looked at it, I was like, no, they're really invigorated looking to the future and things that make brands great. And one of her big things was about just being customer focused. And it's something, you know, we talk about all the time, but that, you know, she said, the CMO for her isn't really a chief marketing officer. She says she's actually more of like sort of the chief customer officer, right? Because her job as being in charge of marketing is that she's really out in the front lines and is sort of the first face that's going to customers. So she really understood that and really kind of stressed on that point. And I think whether you're a huge brand like them or if you're a small brand, I think that's something we kind of advocate for all the time. And something people should hold on to all the time. I think it's a really great advice.
I mean, if you're not having somebody watch out for your customers, you're really kind of wasting your time developing things if it's something they don't want, if you don't know that they don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, she talked a lot about kind of growing and changing and, you know, adapting your brand to your customers. But she also talked about this idea of holding on to your brand artifacts, which I think is really interesting. So, because you're always talking about how can we get better? How can we change? How can we do these sort of things? But there's parts about your brand that's really unique to you, that you know that those are sort of your thing, right? So she talked about the Yahoo, like Yodel, that noise.
Yeah.
That,
oh, yeah, I have a beer opener that does that.
And she says that no matter how much they change, I think they've even changed their logo now and do these sort of things, they'll never let go of that.
Yeah.
And she talked about, gave the example of like Coke, how you still see them, like these polar bear commercials still come out every once in a while because people always attribute like that was something that was really successful for them then.
Yeah.
And she said that Coke kind of started to get away from it, and some of the feedback that they got were people asking like, oh, where are the polar bears? and I think it gives a chance that something that your customers connect to, but it also, I think, gives your employees and your staff kind of a connection to the history and past.
Yeah.
I think, and especially for a small business, and a lot of businesses that I know we all talk to have been around for either 5 years or 50 years, and they all have sort of some history, you know?
It's like connecting with your loyal customers who have stuck with you, but at the same time trying to meet the needs of your new customers.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of cool. I mean, when you think about it, I remember when we found the constant contact emailer in a box software thing? Like, whoa! You know, at one point we were selling constant contact in the stores. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's... Wow, that's pretty cool. Like, when you think about it, like, you know what I mean?
Just and we
like
posted a picture of that on Instagram if anybody's interested in looking that up.
Pretty cool. So, cool. Well, so if you guys could then sum up, like, maybe, like, if there was one thing that stuck out with you most from the conference or the festival or whatever that you think small businesses could apply, what would it be?
I feel like one of the topic or concepts I kind of took away from a lot of the marketing or social media ones were to sort of get away from the idea of selling your products on social media or in your blog or anything, and really focus on that community. Mm-hmm. Have your brands fall in love with a passion or an idea or an interest first, and then introduce them to your brand. And a lot of people kept bringing up Red Bull. When you think about Red Bull, they're not out there just, drink our energy drink. It's with those high-impact X Games and all the events they sponsor and all the stuff that they're involved with. You can really fall in love with those types of things before you...
It's really about that lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and forming a community that way and not necessarily using online marketing to just sell things.
Cool.
Right? Yeah, I mean, not to be too repetitive, but I mean, I think the biggest takeaway for me was really show your work. I thought it was just such a great, you know, speech that he gave. I've even started reading his book now. But I just think that it really is the best way about going about things, because with all the things that we're always talking about with marketing, all these things, you know, what do you hear all the time? Well, I don't know what to say, or I don't know how to make these connections with people. But I really do believe that if you sort of follow this idea of showing people the work that you're doing on a daily basis, letting them into your process, I mean, and your company is interesting, your business is interesting, whether you think it is or not, it is to people. And, you know, I've thought a lot about, you know, all these like TV reality, not reality TV shows, but these shows where people are picking these random industries of businesses and they're getting their own TV shows.
Yeah, it's weird.
Things you would have never thought of, but people fall in love with them.
Yeah.
And I think it's really relatable for a small business that now with the internet and the ease of access, you don't need to be on that big stage. You just start small, focusing on every day, creating and sharing something you can do. And that audience, I think, really will come. Yeah. And it'll be a really highly engaged, high quality audience. Yeah.
If anything, too, I think it's just great from a personal perspective, right? If you're really reflecting on the work that you do and the things that you're trying to do, and you're trying to make sense of it and explain it and be thoughtful about it, that it helps you get better. It builds the precision that you approach your... Because I think of it, I always think of everything. I mean, I come from an acting background, right? And there's a craft to acting. Like, there's a way and there's a process you go through, and there's things that you do to try to get better and find ways into things. And I think the more you practice that, so it's the same with like sports or anything like that, the more you do that and the more you try to refine it, the better you become. And I think if you're not trying to become better at what you do, then why do it?
Yeah.
You know?
and again, I mean, it's also a chance for you if you focus on showing your work, and, you know, maybe you're not able to, you think you're not able to create something every day, but I mean, something small, even if it's just, you know, just taking a picture at work or just taking some notes down, just holding on to that. It's over time, and this is something that he talks about in his book as well, as about halfway through it now. Yeah. So, but it's that, you know, you're going to have maybe once a day, it doesn't sound like a lot, but after a month, you have 30 things there that you can really rely on. And then after 2 months, 60, and by the end of the year, you have this full library of stuff that you've built and really kind of accomplished something there. And that's all stuff that you can share and put out in the world. So
cool.
I think that's cool.
Awesome. All right. Well, guys, thanks for sharing what you guys took away from the South by Southwest Festival. And thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you next time on the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Bye-bye now.